You're listening to the Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show, produced by The Banyan Collective. Find more mind-blowing podcasts at thebanyancollective.com and on iTunes. The Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show, adventure for your ears.
You haven't lived until you've heard the show Americans are talking about. The show that launches its listeners to the height of humanity. The audio hour that travels the landscape of adventure. The sound that comforts more than the clip of your first bolt. It's the Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show!
Outdoor Adventure summits the airwaves. It is the Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show. I am your host, R. Brandon Long. I'm belay with you for the next hour. Across the seat from me in Tan Van is the best co-host in all the land, Todd to the Top. This week's show is powered by Goal Zero, the Yeti 400, to be specific, as we are podcasting live from the Indian Trailhead in Ogden Canyon, where we just hiked, got done with a nice little morning hike. This week we'll have a weekly happy featuring Jaws on the docket, featuring Weber Pathways, Ogden Trails Network, WSU Outdoor Program, Ogden Nature Center, all the places in town. Snow Basin, Ogden Marathon's coming up. In the news, give you some what's going on around here. Everest, it's that time of year. I have a couple of Everest stories worth watching, no worth reading. A Gear 30 segment, trip report from Indian Trail right here in Ogden Canyon, quote of the week, and outdoor jukebox. All this and more on Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show, episode 272, Jaws and Bears. Let's charge.
He summits with the agility of a mountain goat, flashes routes faster than UPS, is more intimate in the mountains than Jake Gyllenhaal. He's Todd to the Top.
All right, we like to start things off with a weekly happy, and this week's weekly happy is from GoPro. Chuck Patterson skis the giant wave at Jaws. Jaws is the name of the wave, not an actual shark in the ocean.
It's a famous
wave. Famous wave. But if you haven't seen this homeboy gets towed out on a pair of skis.
Shut up.
And I have no clue how he does this.
Shut up.
I mean, they're like special retrofitted fatty skis, but they have regular bindings on them.
Yeah, big boots.
And there's the toe in. He's got poles, because, you know, you need poles when you're surfing. Skiing.
And he's using them.
Yeah.
Okay, this is one of the cooler things I've ever seen.
It's pretty rad. Look at he's carving into the wave right there. I'm pretty sure he just made a turn and another turn.
In the future.
Yeah.
Now, what if you need a wave as big as Jaws to do this?
Maybe.
You need some thrust.
Look, how rad is that? That's a long time. Oh my God, unreal.
I want to see a picture of it from afar, though.
So that was pretty cool. That is up. It's up at a lot of different blogs. I found it at TetonGravity.com. You just go to YouTube and search it. It's GoPro Chuck Patterson skis Jaws. There you go. Now you have a new something to do with your life. Figure out how to go ski it. On the docket. Busy week. Weber Pathways Weed Roundup is like right now up in Huntsville. They have another one tomorrow in Ogden, 29th Street. And then the last one is Saturday up in Eden at Eden Park.
What do they do with those weed roundups?
They pull them weeds out there.
They round up weeds?
Round up weeds, yeah.
That's pretty much exactly what it sounds.
It is. So they have volunteers from different groups, nonprofit groups, and kids that show up. And it's open to the public. Anybody can go help them pull some weeds. So if you want to, and it's the Dyer's Woad, the non-invasive weeds that we don't want around here.
Because who doesn't love to pull weeds?
I love pulling weeds. Go out and pull some weeds.
It's kind of satisfying, yeah.
Yeah, so today, it's going on right now. You still got another chance tomorrow, Friday and Saturday. Tonight is the Ogden Trails Network Shindig. which is basically a party for the trails.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
At the front from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. Maybe I can bust this podcast out by then. If you haven't, but they've been marketing it, so if you don't know, now you know. If you
usually been, pretty good turnout. I expect lots of cool people.
Either there's not a cover charge or there's a small cover, but it all goes to Ogden Trails Network to help them keep our trails in tip-top shape.
The BMX kids are out, and that's always fun to watch.
Yeah, they are coming out, huh? They're doing their
They set up in that little area behind.
Yeah, their tricks over the... They do the jump things, so that's nice.
You know, the tricks.
The tricks, the jump things, the tricks, whatever the BMX... I used to want to be a BMX kid. Well, I had a fluorescent green Diamondback bike with the pegs on
these
there.
Bikes are virtually the same. Like, they're virtually
not much
the
has
same.
Changed.
No, I don't think they have. Maybe they've gotten lighter. I don't know, but they're pretty much the same.
Unfortunately, I got that bike for Christmas, but I was about 4 months into skateboarding and decided skateboarding was going to be my thing. And when I got the bike,
you can't do both.
I can't switch. You can't switch to, So the bike sort of, it didn't get as much use as my mom hoped it would. I'm sorry about that, Mom, because skateboarding was, but Diamondback has a bike out now, a mountain bike that I really want to buy. It's like $5,000. Guess what? Same color. It's that green.
Nice.
Yeah. If Mom wants to pitch in $5,000 for that, I wouldn't mind. I'll totally get way more use out of it now. On the docket. WSU Outdoor Program Weekly Climb Night kicks off this Friday at 9th Street, 5 to 8 p.m. You need to know absolutely nothing, basically. Just show up. If you do know something, or it's been a long time since you've been in the climbing game, go to 9th Street, 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock on Fridays for the next few weeks. I think they'll have you sign a little waiver, and then the outdoor program will help outfit you and get you on the rock, reteach you or teach you the correct belay techniques for top roping, and make sure that you stay safe out there on the rock. So it's easy. You know what you have to do? You just have to go. Take a date. Take a friend.
It's not a bad idea.
Just go. Fly with the Flock 5K and Pancake Breakfast is Saturday morning at the Ogden Nature Center at 8 a.m. You run the trails out there surrounding the Ogden Nature Center, which I just went out there to check out because I'll have a booth out there and play some music. So if anyone wants a certain song, hit me up on Twitter at Ogden Adventure and I'll play that song for you. I'll just give you a shout out even. The song is for you at whoever on Twitter. Fly with the Flock. Ooh, is that the OTN mugs they're selling tonight?
Yeah, they've only got about 300 of those. They're going to their closest Ogden Trails family and friends tonight. So
good
I
looking.
Want one of those. Yeah.
Good
I think
looking.
The van needs one of those.
The van needs four of those.
Yeah, they do.
So come out to the Ogden Nature Center Saturday morning, Fly with the Flock, and then Union Grill, flipping pancakes in the morning. So you can finish off your run with some nice pancakes. Not beer, not
that's
that early.
That's kind of worth it right there.
Right?
Yeah. Who doesn't like pancakes? I want pancakes right now. I really do. That sounds so good.
I have a stove and I have a skillet. What I don't have is the pancake mix. The Cystic Fibrosis Great Strides 5K is also this Saturday. It's at 10 a.m. It's a 5K, and it's at Eccles Dinosaur Park. It's less running, more walking benefits the cystic fibrosis. That's our buddy Wojo Wojimachkowski, who will be out there with the Cystic Fibrosis Great Strides 5K at the Dinosaur Park. So, again, the kids will love it. It's kid-friendly here at the Dinosaur Park. Saturday morning, you have two options. Fly with the Flock at Nature Center. Cystic Fibrosis 5K at Eccles Dinosaur Park. And the weather looks fantastic. Back of Beyond Downriver Sup Race on the Colorado River is also on Saturday in Moab. Head down there, test your sup skills. May 14th, Mother's Day. Oh, by the way, Snow Basin will be open for Earl's Lodge. Daily brunch, no skiing, but you can go up there and eat some food. WSU Outdoor Program Weekly Climb Night continues on the 19th, and then the 20th is the Ogden Marathon. It's a big deal. It happens, comes up fast. Everyone who's been training, I've seen lots of people out there training. Got like a week. If you want to enter now, like Couch to Marathon, now's when you need to pay and get in on that half marathon or full marathon. Then you can definitely, I think we're, a week out, you can claim Couch to Marathon with no training, which more power to you. June 2nd is the Ogden Film Festival. Also on that day, again, weekly climbing night. And June 3rd is the Great Salt Lake Open Water Marathon Swim. We teased that one last week. The Rattlesnake Avoidance Training for Dogs on June 4th, presented by the Ogden Animal Hospital. GoPro Mountain Games, June 8th through 11th. Snow Basin opens up for the summer officially on June 11th. And that's the same day as the Ogden Arts Festival. So a lot coming up. Let's see, did I put anything new on this week? I don't think so. Antelope Island by Moonlight Bike Ride is July 7th.
Who's putting together that Ogden Film Fest? Do you know? Is that part of your group?
I do Ogden not know. I have a friend on Facebook that I see his posts, and he promotes it quite well. However, oh, your thing's unplugged over there. However, I think they need submissions still. Like, I feel like he's pushing it quite a bit. Like we need more submissions. So if you have a film that you want to get out or get done, wrap it up, man. I know it costs a little bit, but there's some benefits. There's some coupons and stuff to enter or something like that. I'm not sure. Anyway.
Yeah, and I'll go to it and watch it. I don't make films, but I like to watch films. And I've been to a lot of film festivals, and so put together your film. Know that we as an audience have to sit through a lot of short films, so keep that in mind when you're making these films.
Like, people, make it good?
Yes. I've been to so many film festivals. I mean, it's goddamn torture. Like, it truly is.
That's not good.
Thank you.
Are you serious?
Oh, God, yes. Even at Sundance. Oh. Even at Sundance, you go to some of the short film fests and things like that. Oh, it's painful.
So, but they're pre-screened, right?
Well, that means that somebody at some point picked them, yeah. I'm guessing.
Do they get
this
desperate
probably,
sometimes and they just like,
No.
We
it
don't
just
have...
means that somebody, you know.
Somebody liked it.
Yeah, somebody liked it. Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
Do you hear this horrible bit of news? I'm gonna jump into one really awful story.
Yeah, in the news.
Because hopefully your stories are happier than this one.
I do have a couple happy stories. A couple bear stories.
Do you hear about the 17-year-old falcon at Hogel Zoo?
Oh, God, yes.
That was killed by the wolves. Or a wolf. It might have been just a single wolf. But that, not just any falcon. This is a falcon that was part of that. Have you been to that World of Flight, that little bird show that
it's
they do?
It's spectacular. It's really cool.
It's really impressive, yeah. You know? Yeah. Kids love it. Everybody loves it. Anyway, this falcon has been part of this show for 10 years. Ooh. 10 years. Anyway, it deviated from its scheduled flight pattern and ended up in the wolf enclosure. And...
oh, no.
Yeah.
And wolfism ensued.
Yeah. Animals being animals.
That's
horrible. That's a horrible story.
Wait a minute. Were they doing the show when...
Yes, I think so. Because that's the only time it would be loose and available, you know. And it says here that...
oh, God, no.
No, this is horrible.
Sorry, kids. Look the other direction.
According to the zoo, the falcon had $1,000 worth of equipment on it at the time. And so I don't know what that means.
Like the little head thing and stuff. And
perhaps,
little,
yeah. But meaning, I think it was during the routine. Yeah, it was. Made a deadly deviation from its routine while performing at the World of Flight Bird Show Sunday and landed in the wolf enclosure.
Wow.
Witness said a wolf poked the bird a few times before attacking and killing it. Basically being a wolf, you know.
Right, right.
They're probably like,
so we need
this is a treat.
New legislation that says that wolf enclosures have to be a certain distance away from the Birds of Prey show.
Or we're going to go with just shit happens, but this is still a horribly sad story.
Could you imagine being there? Oh, my God. That's crazy. Yeah, animals being animals, hashtag.
And it was an African lanner falcon named Max. It even had a name, which makes it even worse.
Max is no longer with us.
It gets even worse. Max has helped raise $1.5 million in donations for wildlife conservation efforts by performing in these shows over the years.
No, Max is their ringer. Oh, Max is their moneymaker.
It's so sad.
And apparently,
well, anyway, my thoughts go out to Max and Max's family.
Was Max done? Like, he's like, dude, you guys, I'm not flying anymore. How long do falcons live? 16, 17 years old he was.
You think it was a cry for help?
So maybe he
was like the saddest thing ever. Oh, I don't want to think like that.
Yeah, maybe he was trying to tell him, like, you guys,
like, I'm done.
It's time for me to go.
Maybe that was the $1,000 worth of equipment on it. Was like robotics and like
keeping his wings together. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Like, I'm dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. On that note, what do you got?
Shit. Okay. Well, let's start with just a little offering out there to those who want to adopt a trail. Ogden Logan National Forest Districts are looking for adopt a trail volunteers. This was originally part of a press release from the Uinta Wasatch Cache National Forest Service, and then reposted at the Standard Examiner, which, have you seen the Standard's new little mountain logo thing that they've had on there for a little while?
But, I heard about
that.
I
like that.
I don't mind it.
Yeah, if you're looking for a way to be involved, you can adopt a trail. They're looking for volunteers to adopt a trail along the Wasatch Front. You can contact Lisa Thompson, who's she's awesome. So it's Lisa Thompson at fs.fed.us, fs.fed.us, Lisa Thompson. And then tell her, hey, I want to be involved. Or find this article and find the contact information. So I want to adopt a trail and help out local trails. And then also... this is a terrible story, also including death, although of a human being, and even worse, of a child. A young child who was staying at a homeless shelter in Ogden was pulled from the Ogden River on Tuesday. They confirmed that he had died. 9-year-old boy Corbin Minchie was playing at Big D Sports Park and found himself in the river. The river carried him a ways, got lodged under a log. When they found him, pulled him out, went to the hospital, didn't make it. It's a horrible story. It's a horrible situation for anyone. And there's even a witness who was helping look for the child who said watching the mom break down in tears, not being able to find their child, was one of the most heart-wrenching things she's ever seen. Of course it would be. It's horrible. So it's a reminder that the runoff is high this year. We had a fantastic snow year, and that was a lot of fun. And the runoff is no joke. It's a serious thing. You do not want to put yourself in harm's way. Yes, if you're a kayaker or you're an experienced person on the water who knows how to use it to your advantage, those guys are having some fun, man. Like my kayaker friends are out often. I see them posting, like, the rivers are going up and down and up and down, and they're hitting, you know, the ups and the right times are out there. But if you're a child, you basically stand no chance in these waters right now. Like, it will just take you for a swim. So, and not a good one either. If you're a parent, please watch your kids at the local parks. This is a terrible reminder, but it is definitely a reminder to stay safe and watch your kids.
This has been a genuine reminder for months now, since they've been releasing as much water as they have.
Yeah.
Behind Slackwater right there.
Oh, my God.
Where the kids like to get, you know, kind of down close to it on those big rocks there behind it. Like, you got to keep a particular close eye. Like, a particular close eye, because the water has been hauling.
Yeah.
Hey.
And they've been pre-releasing water down from Pine View. And right now, the second article I'm getting to, Ogden on Standard Examiner, Ogden River South Fork. So, above Pine View, coming out of Causey, is also overspilling its banks right now. So, Causey is, like, just like overflowing. So that's coming into Pine View, and then Pine View needs to release. And so camping opens next weekend, Memorial Day weekend, or 2 weeks, 2 weeks, two or three, 2 weeks, I think. Anyway, Memorial Day weekend. So everyone's going to be up at South Fork. Hey, keep in mind, right now it's raging up there. So it can be fun when you tube it and stuff, but just make sure you stay safe and wear a life jacket. The kids, everyone's going to be up there, but right now it is super high. So keep that in mind when you just plan your camping for up there at South Fork. Yeah.
Just checking out your pictures.
Sorry, yeah. There's a new bill on the docket that would allow Utah to create two new state parks. And you can actually jump on KSL.com and vote if you would like to see Escalante and Little Sahara be made into two Utah state parks. And I say, why not? Go ahead and vote yes on those. Go to KSL.com and just look at the... look up Utah to create two new state parks, and that'll help hold those areas sacred for years to come. So you got your questionable face on there.
My questionable face means that would actually be a good place for a DGI Fridays, is what I was thinking, but to each his own, I suppose. Do they still have TGI Fridays? That was always the go-to chain. Like, you know, if you're ever
date
referring
night?
To a... No, if you're just ever referring to, like, one of those chains. It was like Chili's.
Chili's, yeah.
Because TGI Fridays was famous for their... What's all their bling that they always wore?
That's
they had,
right.
Like suspenders with pins and things. Flare.
Flare. Oh my God, the flare.
They always had flare.
Didn't work in Ogden. The Riverdale location went out of business. Shut down. Turned into a
Have
Denny's.
Have you been to that Denny's yet?
It's pretty nice.
That's a nice Denny's.
For as far as Denny's goes?
Like they were competent there too.
Yeah.
Like there were so many people helping at the front. My waitress knew. I was really impressed. Plus, it's kind of open up so you can see them making the food. I love restaurants where it's open up and you can watch your food being made.
They did a major overhaul because...
It's a big Denny's.
Yeah, it's a big Denny's. And I gave up on IHOP. IHOP's gone to the shitter. So, and now to Denny's. And that Denny's is great.
It looks nice, yeah.
It looks nice.
No, I think that's the direction. Yeah, but yeah, no more TGI Friday, which is a sad thing. I guess that went the ways of the Blockbuster. It's just done now, yeah.
Bonneville Cutthroats return after 50 years. And this is something we talked about on the Bug Huckers podcast, but this was just an article that recently came out here on Trout Unlimited blog, an article by Paul Burnett, who we've had on the Bug Huckers podcast. For the first time in 50 years, Bonneville Cutthroat Trout are in Utah's Weber River. And they were able to ascend Strawberry Creek, an important spawning tributary. Thank you to the major conservation efforts in northern Utah. So that's I don't fly fish. I really want to learn how to fly fish. I think this is great. And I know there's a lot of time and effort put into this project. So the fact that they're seeing the cutthroats back there and it's working, it's awesome to see these guys successful in their endeavors. So congrats to Trout Unlimited.
Yeah. Look at all that trout porn.
Did you see that trout porn? Yeah, that was good trout porn up in there. Yeah, that was a good fish picture right there. Fish pick or something? I don't know.
It was a fish pick, yeah.
Fish pick.
That's funny.
All right, Aspen Skiing Company buys more resorts. They bought Steamboat and others for $1.5 billion. One day, there's only going to be one resort.
What have I said? For years now, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to learn how to ski when there's one resort. This was like 5-6 years ago when they started buying each other out more and more so. I'm like, it's too much of a hassle now to jump between resorts. When there's one, then I will check it out. And we are so much closer to making that happen.
You're pretty damn close, yeah. We have some Everest news I'm going to get to, but first in the bizarro weird news. A great white shark appeared in a wave over a surfer's shoulders in video. So I can play the video, but there's
not. Yeah, I've seen photos of this type of stuff that are like fake. Is this real?
It's pretty real. And the guy who shot the video didn't release it, didn't make it public or embeddable right away so that big sites like this is on Grind TV and others could share it because he didn't want it to be sensationalized. And he said, I've seen juniors, like they're not full adult
juveniles.
Sharks, juveniles, swimming in waters before, but he wasn't too concerned because, shit, their juveniles are still freaking huge, right? But they'd never come that close. And what you're hearing right now is him bouncing around in the water because he's just sitting there waiting for a wave. And he's on a longboard. He's an older gentleman. Super good shape, by the way, for a gray hair. Is that what you call that? A gray hair. So he's probably in his 50s or something. Looks nice and happy waiting for a wave. And this is in Southern California. I'm not sure exactly where. You don't recognize that cliff band, do you? Like, where would that cliff band be? I'm not really sure. Oh, is that right? San Onofre State Park?
That's San Diego.
Oh, that was a shark attack. So here it is. Slow-mo. He sees it out of the corner of his eye. He's looking to catch the wave.
So he did see it.
And he saw it out of the corner of his eye. And this is him, paddling. It looks like he missed the wave. He's just paddling to get the hell out of Dodge back to the shore because that was a little too close for comfort with that shark right there.
Yeah. GoPros catch everything these days.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Another reason to put a GoPro on your surfboard, which when we went to Oceanside, it's been 2 weeks. 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
Oh my God.
We're coming up about 2 weeks.
That went by so fast. I saw more surfboards with the mounts on the front. You know, more and more of the surfers are videoing themselves as they're out there and stuff. But that's pretty darn close to a great white shark, if he was a juvie or not. I looked pretty big. Looked as big as this guy is, if not bigger.
For me, it's just a shark.
Right. I don't know how you know the difference.
No, it's just a baby. It's just a baby shark. I'm like, no, that's a shark.
Oh, yeah. And then this bear really liked brownies.
Do you blame this bear?
No.
Oh, I love brownies.
Let's look at this. This is an ad for
King and I. Times
calls it breathtaking. It is. Have you seen this?
At some point, I've seen the King and I. Yeah, an old classic.
Oh, that was your ad from whatever.
Up close and personal on a local woman's deck is captured on camera. The images have been shared hundreds of times on social media, and tonight, Only Eyewitness News is talking with the man who rushed.
This is in Connecticut, by the way.
Fight off that bear. Channel 3 Eyewitness
News
reporter
Aaron Conley joins us
live from the mobile newsroom with all the details for us tonight. Pretty scary. Hi, Aaron.
Very scary, Mike. But people here,
was it very scary?
People here in Avon are very used to seeing their fair share of bears, but this one
their
came
fair
way
share of bears.
Too close for comfort, and getting it to leave was easier said than done.
How many puns? Should we
My
count the puns?
She's very pretty.
Came over in a panic. She's a little old lady, screaming that a bear got in her back porch and is slamming on her glass door.
Paws pressed up on the glass of her
that
back
looks like a straight
door.
Selfie a shot right there.
Terrifying situation playing out for one woman at her home on Stagecoach Road in Avon. She was greeted by the unwelcome visitor while making
like
brownies.
And he's not afraid of noise.
It's the double tags are popular now with the
bears. That's the voice
the
of bears. Bob Belfiore.
They're all double tagged ears.
Very trendy. Get the bear to go away. You can see the menacing animal even made its way onto the deck's railing before standing up.
Is he climbing over that or revving up on that?
Though it looks cute.
Okay, never mind.
And on the railing, this bear was angry about not being able to get at the food.
At
He's
one point,
trying to provide some levity.
The screen door, but thankfully couldn't manage to open the glass slider. Belfiore says this bear was persistent.
He actually left the kitchen area
and
went to a second set of doors off the deck and tried those, and then went to a third set of doors into the living room.
I love this guy.
And attempted to get through those.
Then he went and got the key.
Did head up to the house after getting the 911 calls, but the bear had already left the area. A long and scary ordeal, one everyone in this neighborhood hopes doesn't happen again.
It was a rather harrowing experience, even though it looks cute
bears
in
the woods.
In the photos.
Oh, Connecticut.
They look deep in the woods there.
They are. Yeah, they're deep in Connecticut.
That doesn't necessarily mean that this bear has a history of bad behavior. Still, though, they'll be keeping a close eye on it. We are live at the mobile newsroom in Avon tonight. Aaron Connolly, Channel 3.
Channel 3 giving us the bear news up in Connecticut. That bear is cute.
If you live that far out into the woods.
Look at how cute that bear is, though. Seriously.
He's pretty big.
You could high-five him on the glass.
You absolutely could right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he could high-five you through the glass and into your heart. Very strong.
Which is what... So I posted,
I love this one. I've seen this video.
So this was up at, believe it or not, Shutterbug. So a photography site. And it went uber viral. If you haven't seen it, I'm surprised, because within the last 24-48 hours, this helmet cam footage of a bear chasing these mountain bikers, I did post it to the Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show Facebook page, is pretty crazy. They're just biking along, and again,
it's a nice trail.
Yeah, oh my god, this trail looks beautiful. Here comes Mr. Grizzly.
He's like, get the he's chasing. Like, go this way, dude. You can get this guy.
Oh my god, that scared the hell out of me.
And you know, in the movies, that guy would fall off his bike.
Oh, that's so crazy. Yeah, that's a big ass bear.
That was a big bear, and he was hauling.
And that's not a cute bear. Like, the last bear wanting brownies was a cute bear. This dude was straight up.
This guy wanted biker brownies.
He wanted some meals on wheels, is what they call that right
that's
there.
Exactly,
right?
What that is.
Yeah.
That was horrible.
All right. Everest News. This is nutballs. What's this guy thinking? Everest climbers detained after hiding to avoid buying a $11,000 permit. I read a little bit about this guy. He's going through a midlife crisis. Same age as me. And he wanted to go up and climb Everest. He got to Camp 2. That's decent, folks. That's there with no oxygen, no support, no anything.
No money.
Wanted to save the money, which now he's in deep shit because he's going to have to pay a lot of money in fines and fees and all this other stuff. And he's getting ripped apart on social because, yes, the permits are expensive. It's like 11 grand. that's how the people there make money. They sell permits to the mountain to climb. So you have to play by the rules. It's a super busy mountain. This area, this mountain this year, from what I hear, is extraordinarily busy. We've already had two deaths. One was Uli Steck, and another one we'll get to here in just a minute. We had the owner of Gear 30 and the major investor of Gear 30, Mark Adams, who lives here in Ogden, just got back from the region and said it's one of the most spectacular areas he's ever been to visually in his life. Like, it's just, it's absolutely beautiful. And he can see the draw for just people wanting to go on the optics alone, right? Like, it's fantastically beautiful, let alone being a mountaineer. And then this guy who is going through a rough time in his life. Okay, I get it. Whatever. You want to get outside. Climbing Everest is a little extreme. You might want to think about that or pay the permit and pay your dues first. So he's getting torn to shit. And instead of paying $11,000 for the permit, he's now looking at about double that in fines, and he will likely be jailed.
Do you have to pay the 11 grand just to even go to like a base camp?
I doubt base camp. I bet you have
so
to
pay
something.
So he made it up to the second camp.
The second, yes. There's camp one. There's base camp, camp one, camp two, I believe camp three and camp four summit. So camp two is no joke, and he was no oxygen, no
apparently
Sherpas.
Nobody really knew
no one
he
helped
was there.
Him. Yeah. Yeah. And then, but there's a lot of monitors on the mountain, and so, yeah, they found him. And then in sadder news on Everest, 86-year-old, died on Everest, and he was a mountaineer, an octogenarian mountaineer, Min Bahadur Sarchan. He died in base camp.
Nailed it.
86-year-old from former British Gurkha, who aimed at reclaiming the crown of the oldest climber to ascend the world's highest mountain. He was born in 1931 in western Nepal. He has summited Everest before. He summited in 2008 at the ripe young age of 76 years old.
And then he had the title, and then he lost the title, and he was trying to get the title back again.
Yeah, because a Japanese mountaineer snatched the title from him when he summited at 80 years old.
I like these 80 plus year olds duking it out.
No, dude, so you know, I sit at the finish line of race events at times, and it was the turkey try up at Weber State, and these 70, 80 year olds, I don't remember this one, but up there, like above 70, came over to the booth and said, "Hey, what's my time?" And I said, "Oh, it's this one." And he was so mad that he didn't beat this other guy who was like 4 or 5 years younger, you know, because super competitive into the late 70s, early 80s. I think it's awesome. And that's how you stay young.
I guess,
and more power
that
to you. Yeah. If you're competitive, you're competitive. And it doesn't matter how old you are. And this guy was 86 and he was going to break the damn record, I tell you. And unfortunately, he died in base camp. I don't know how. They didn't expand on that necessarily. It doesn't matter. He's no longer with us. So there's your Everest news. Worth watching. And I haven't watched the whole thing yet, but honestly, anything by Camp 4 Collection is worth watching. And this is a new movie. I'll play the start here. It's Yeti, the cooler company. Yeti presents Denali's Raven. I like this song. It's the story of
you can't just say Yeti, it's the lifestyle brand Yeti.
Lifestyle. Thank you. Yeah, you're right. She's got her son in the back. I don't know how you say your name. Layan Fowley? Says Alaska is more than home, it's a calling. Is it Layan? Gosh, I'm probably butchering her name. Spent years as a ski guide and a climber on the Alaska Range, focusing much of her energy on Denali. But after becoming a mother, she found herself unwilling to pursue guiding and the dangers that came with it. So instead, she's taking on the skies as a pilot. And the first scene opens up with her, their boy in the back, and he's upset that the sun is in his eyes and he can't figure out how to get the sun out of her eyes as she's taken off in her little puddle jumper type airplane flying these amazing mountains. And it's just a brief story called Denali's Raven, and it's beautifully shot. I didn't get to finish
by Renan. That, yeah. You know what, that kid's got some potential. I hope he sticks in the game, because
there's your Falcon right there. Yeah, I hope Renan does.
He's starting to make
some
decent little films. Yeah. Utah Zone.
Yeah, out of Salt Lake. Is she shooting whiskey? Yeah.
Keep him warm.
Yeah, keep him warm.
I was a horribly uncoordinated kid and pretty shy.
She would tow you all over the place, even through the woods, holding on your finger, dragging you along.
I grew up in Fairbanks. That's all we did was look out from our little hills.
Not a bad place to be raised.
Alaska Range.
No. God, it's gorgeous.
Fairbanks, Alaska is like West Virginia meets Siberia.
That guy's been there a while. West Virginia meets Siberia.
These Alaskan fishing towns are unbelievable. It's like you're stepping back in time.
Yeah, excuse us, podcasters, why we just watch this beautiful film.
I love that we have a video segment on the podcast, but
yeah,
that was our play-by-play.
You can visualize it. You can visualize it. So that's definitely worth watching. As you can see, we get easily sucked into this stuff. So. All right. Gear 30 Premier Mountain Equipment this week's Gear of the Week. My trucker hat. What do you think?
That's good looking.
I like the colors. The design.
It's very 70s vintagey looking. So
sweet. I got compliments on it.
Everybody needs one. Yeah.
So while we were in Oceanside, I was messaging the graphic designer and I'm like, hey, I need some hats. Like, give me some hats. And I wanted him to say this and look like this and blah, blah, blah. And he sent over some options because I tried to do it on Illustrator and I couldn't make it do what I wanted it to do. And this is pretty, this isn't, like, if I had more time, I would have made some more changes to it. A little, small ones, but I would have made a little bit more. But turned out all right. And we did bright colors, bright green, yellow. The yellow went fast. And we gave them all. We gave everybody who came and raced, who wanted one, at the Ogden Trail Running Festival, we gave them all hats. And now they're all tagging the hats in their Instagram photos and stuff. It's pretty great. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So if you want one, come into Gear 30, get one, an Ogden. It just says Ogden Mountain Running on it.
I'm guessing grab them while you can.
They're going to go fast.
Like they're last,
yeah, no, they were great. They're hashtag all the rage. So grab your Ogden Mountain Running trucker hats from Gear 30, Premier Mountain Equipment. Gear 30, Ogden's Mountain Shop. Trip report. Indian Trail, not too shabby today, huh?
Ah, it was lovely. We got a little sweat on, which is good.
I sweat more than I thought I would.
I mean, we were pushing it just a little bit. We were doing like a mosey times two. We increased the mosey just a little bit, I think, on that. So
yeah,
lovely. I'll tell you what, it's
no
warming
snakes
up to about 80 plus today, and ooh, so kind of getting started early was very helpful. I think this is a good shady.
What did we start at 8?
About 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
How many people did we pass?
Two.
8 o'clock on a Thursday morning. Come on, people.
Two.
We should see more people.
Two people, and that was at the start, and guess what shirt they were wearing?
Van Sessions.
Van Sessions t-shirt.
Bandy collected Van Sessions shirts. Oh, yeah. That was good to see.
Tell
that
you
nice.
What.
Yeah.
So Indian Trail was void of people besides us, basically, until we got all the way basically back to the beginning. There's only one section of mud. We went, so we started in the canyon, not from 22nd Street Trailhead, started in the canyon, went up to the little cabin fort hut thing, whatever.
What do they consider this one? Shelter. They consider this an intermediate hike? Is this like a, because this isn't super easy breezy just because, I mean, you're gaining some, you know.
Compared to Malin's, it's easier. Compared to the shoreline, you know, obviously much, much more difficult because there's some elevation game. I think I'd call it moderate. I don't think I'd call it difficult.
No.
It's not super long. It's steeper, I think, from the other side.
But it's pretty, but it's, you know, a pretty, you're pretty decent, much going up the whole time.
Yeah, and
you're just in the shade and stuff, so
it feels fine.
It's a little easier, you know.
Yeah. No, great hike. And if you're looking to really feel away from the city and really feel like you're in the mountains,
moderate. On the trail running sites and things, it's moderate. That's what they call that one. So
this is a hop, jump, and a skip down the trail, not very far, or down the Ogden Canyon, and then you pull off, and you're all of a sudden you're in the mountains, and it just feels like you're worlds away. The only other closer one that feels worlds away is Hidden Valley Trail, which is pretty unique. So this week's quote of the week: "I will not meddle with that which I cannot mend," from Thomas Fuller. Thank you to Goal Zero and the Yeti 400. Yeti 400, 100, 100, for powering today's 272nd episode of the Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show. Last week we gave away a slack water, $25 slack water gift certificate. And I think it was Christine Ferrario. Is that who we're giving it to? She's our winner.
So, yes, we need to get that to you.
You got
to
get a hold of her. So we'll get a hold of her and get her a $25.
Congratulations.
Slackwater gift certificate. I didn't really have anything to give away.
Oh, I didn't clarify though. With that $25, you have to buy us a beer, and the beer is like $5. And so you're still into it like $15. Okay. If you buy Brandon and I each a beer. Okay. So
just let us know when you can meet us down at Slackwater. And we'll,
you get us each a Melvin. Those run about $5 a piece, and that still leaves you three beers for yourself. And so I'd say we're good.
Go ahead, direct message us on Twitter at Ogden Adventure or at Banyan Podcast, and we'll meet you down there. So look for us on Facebook, Instagram, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, thebanyancollective.com, and the Podbean app for Android and iPhones. This week's outdoor jukebox. Let's see, what is this week's? Oh, yeah. Ditch Digger by Tyler Lyle. John Muir would say the mountains are calling and we gotta go.
I choose my eyes wide open and my heart half broken every time. Over the gilded golden shackle, the reassuring sentiment. I've seen the rolling meadows and the cruelest ghettos in this town, and I know the baker and the undertaker and the girl with the stars on her gown. But the song that sounds the best to me is the chorus of the maple tree. Now the river bends into the sea, its course is fixed and so are we. It seems, but I got sunshine, sunshine.